Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Adam Bryant is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad he's here. Adam is a new friend. He's the writer of the Corner Office feature, a very popular part of the New York Times business section. He is the author of a best-selling book, Corner Office, and he's got a new book out. That's called Quick and Nimble. It's all about lessons from leading CEOs and how to create a culture of innovation. That's what he does with his books. He goes out and finds really smart people who've been there, done that, already bought the T-shirt, and helps us learn from those people. And he's here to talk about the new book. Adam Bryant, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on the book.
I appreciate it.
I tell men that when they write a book, that's as close as we'll ever come to birthing a baby. What do you think?
I've said that myself. I think
yeah,
it's very
yeah.
true.
Yeah, I probably got that from you somewhere down the road. Hey, Adam, around here we've talked a lot about innovation over the years, about not just accepting change, but leading change, not even just managing it, but having to lead, being able to lead change, which incorporates the ability to be innovative. But things are moving so fast, the change is not different, but the velocity of change is what's different. And all of that together requires not just being innovative, but having a culture of innovation, an innovative culture in the organization. And that's what you write about in your new book.
Exactly. I see culture as kind of a greenhouse of an organization, and you need a really great greenhouse to get the innovation growing from really all corners of the organization. I don't really believe in the sort of chief innovation officer model that some companies pursue. I think everybody has to contribute to innovation, and I sort of come at culture at a very human level. I think it's really about the relationships that colleagues have with each other and the relationships that bosses have with their employees. And if you really have effective relationships, then that's going to create a good, fertile ground for people coming up with ideas and sharing half-baked ideas. And as you know, Jim, I mean, it's often those quarter-baked, half-baked ideas that turn into the next monster hit.
Well, exactly. And some idea, some thought, some suggestion, some piece of information that maybe the CEO doesn't even know. He doesn't know that the trucks don't go out the right. They don't work efficiently when they turn to the right out of the shop. They need to turn to the left. Or those kinds of things that the people making the big decisions don't even know about. All of those little pieces of the puzzle turn into something innovative that everybody can benefit from. And it takes that kind of collaboration within the culture to pull all that together, doesn't it?
Exactly. And the best ideas do come from the front lines, but you have to have a culture where people feel like they can share their crazy idea and that the bosses at the top are out on the front lines asking people, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are our customers saying? And really just getting that culture where people feel like they can share and really contribute. And I heard this expression from a lot of CEOs I interviewed about, we want people to bring their best self to work every day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great phrase where people come in, they're not kind of checking part of themselves at the door when they go into work. You bring your best self, and then you're contributing. And I think that's really the magic of leadership, if you can create that culture where people are kind of all in.
You can't build beautiful furniture if you don't begin with lumber that can become beautiful furniture.
Yeah.
You can't build an innovative culture if you don't start with people who can contribute to an innovative culture. So what you talk about in your book includes making sure that you search, you seek, and you find, and you bring on people who can contribute to that, right?
Exactly. And at the end of the day, I think culture is really the sum total of the relationships that all the colleagues in an organization have with each other. To me, that's the fabric. And so you really have to focus on building those relationships and really understand how to have difficult conversations. I've got a chapter in my book called Adult Conversations, which is really about giving people feedback. And sometimes there's problems and you've got to give, you know, somebody some tough news. And there's an art to having those adult conversations. But I don't need to tell you, Jim, I mean, most managers will literally go out of their way to avoid having these.
Kind of
discussions.
We don't like them. We don't like them, especially, and it's even worse in a small business. Adam,
because
we see these people every day. I mean, yesterday we were all happy. Today we're not happy, and we don't like this. We want to be happy again.
Right, and these conversations are hard. They are stressful because you don't know how somebody's going to react when you sit them down. To me, it's like stepping into a knife fight in a phone booth. You just don't know. So you go out of your way to avoid it. And I think, you know, especially for your audience, there's a lot of small businesses. I mean, you hear this expression a lot that we're a family. And I totally get the impulse. Your bosses want to send the message that they care about their employees as human beings and their extended families. But what I've heard from some CEOs is that they've stood up in front of their employees and said, you know what, folks, we're not a family. Because in a family, you can't fire your Uncle Joe. And we're not a family, we're a team, and everybody has to play the position on the team, and everybody's going to be held accountable for that. So, again, I get the family metaphor.
I like that approach. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Which comes first, the innovative culture makes a team engaged and productive and high-functioning, or hiring the right people who we've tested and we have a belief can become that? What do you think?
I think it's more the latter. You got to start with the right people, but then I think leaders have to be very deliberate about creating culture, because if you just let culture happen on its own, I sort of think of culture as like cholesterol. There's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. Good culture, there's good culture and there's bad culture. And if you're not mindful, if you're not deliberate, you're going to have a lot of bad cholesterol. Culture is just its politics.
And speaking of which, Adam, when we come back, we're going to, folks, many of you are out there saying, okay, fine, great, I get it. I want to have an innovative culture, but I've already got these people who may or may not be what I need. How do I deal with that? So we're going to get Adam to help us plug into the middle of your organization after these messages. The book is called Quick and Nimble, Lessons from Leading CEOs, How to Create a Culture of Innovation. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. Right back with Adam Bryant.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.